This podcast is brought to you by Lanco Group, your business partner for engineering solutions. You are listening to FNR Football Nation Radio.
And Josh, to discuss the Asian Cup with us right now is Paul Williams from the Asian Game Podcast. Paul, it's great to have you on FNR.
Good to talk to you guys again. How are you going?
It's great to talk to you, Paul. I trust you're enjoying the tournament so far in Abu Dhabi.
I am. It's been a great tournament, especially on the park. I spent the first 10 days down in Dubai, floating amongst the venues there, going to various games. And now I'm up in Abu Dhabi, where I guess the serious business is about to get underway with the knockout stages. And I was at Oman versus Turkmenistan last night, and that was just a brilliant occasion. The Omani fans were fantastic, and for them to get that third goal that absolutely sealed their qualification for the first time ever, it was joyous scenes, and it was a delight to be part of. And in fact, we saw amongst their fans, and Ali Alhadzi, their legendary goalkeeper who played in the Premier League for so long, was in amongst the fans for the entire game, singing and celebrating, and that was just fantastic to see one of their great players in amongst it, with the fans as well, and really getting into the spirit of the tournament.
That's absolutely brilliant, and so joyous with the scenes that I believe Pim Verbeek might even have cracked a smile, dare we say it?
Doesn't smile too often, does he, does young Pim? He's not so young anymore, but he was definitely happy after the game. I spoke to him the day before at the press conference, and he was quietly confident. They'd played well in their first two games without getting the result, and they'd been a little bit unlucky. They'd been denied what many thought were some clear penalties in both those games against Uzbekistan and Japan, and they'd played well otherwise, and the tide was eventually going to turn, and luck was going to fall their way. And again, for a period of time last night, they were peppering the goals, and just a combination of, you know, some last-ditch defending and some poor finishing that they just weren't finding their way through. And, you know, 85 minutes had gone, and you thought this is going to be another day for Oman, or it's just not going to be their day. And then they got those two late goals to send them through. And I saw him on the sidelines afterwards, and, yeah, there was definitely a big smile on his face.
Fantastic. And I do want to discuss one of the stories of the tournament so far, which has been the performances of Qatar, who've topped their group. They beat Saudi Arabia overnight in a politically charged contest, it must be said. Al-Muez Ali has now scored 7 goals in the tournament so far. So he's equaled the all-time record in the group stages. How did they get their hands on this guy?
I don't know. They got their hands on him. He's a Qatari player, so he's come through their youth systems. And this team, I've been talking up this Qatari team for a little while now, because they've all come, not the entire team, but the majority of the team has come through their youth development system together. So their coach Felix Sanchez, he had this team, through the under 16s, the under 19s, the under 23s, and now he's taken them through. And has got them at senior level as well. And a lot of these players have all come through those youth teams together and are now in the senior team. So this is a team that's been developing for some time now. And, you know, the grand prize for them is 2022. That's what they're really developing towards. But, you know, we've seen at youth level the talent that this team has. And Al-Muez Ali, for those that watched the AFC Under-23 Championships this time last year, they would have seen the talent that he has, because he was a standout in that tournament, and he's proving it again in this tournament as well. He probably doesn't play in his preferred position as a striker for his club side. He generally plays out wide, but in this tournament, he's proving just the talent that he is. And Jose Mourinho was actually on the BN Sport coverage over here as a pundit for that game last night, bizarrely enough. I'm not sure how much he knows about Qatari and Saudi football, but he was effusive in his praise of Al-Muez Ali, and said that, you know, he's clearly good enough to play at a league in Europe, and I dare say if he continues up this form, then there will be some clubs sniffing about, and I dare say we will see him in Europe in the not-too-distant future, whether that's a transfer or whether he goes out to one of the clubs that are owned by Aspire across the continent. I dare say he'll be in Europe before long, as they then try to build up towards 2022 as well.
So Qatar in previous years, maybe had been known for naturalising a lot of their national team talent, but that's not the case now, you're saying. It's more down to their youth development nowadays.
Yeah, absolutely. I think there may be one or two players in this squad that are naturalised, but generally they're Qatari born, they're Qatari bred, they're players that have actually come through the system and have grown up in Qatar. It's very different to what it was, say, 10 years ago when a lot of the team were naturalised talent. I think they've realised that wasn't the path to go down that they needed to develop their homegrown players. So, as I said, there's still a couple of players that are in the squad. I think Pedro is one of them, that are naturalised players. But for the most part, this is a team full of, you know, Qatari-born and Qatari-bred players.
And Paul, with these results in mind and positive signs from Qatar, surely anything is possible now heading into that next cycle for the 2022 World Cup coming up in Qatar?
Yeah, absolutely. And as I said, that's the big prize for them. They've already qualified. They're the host, so they don't have to go through a qualification process. They know they will be there. So it's now all about building up to get this team right. I mean, people have spoken about that. You know, Qatar will be the worst host nation to ever play at a World Cup, and I think that kind of stings them a little bit. They want to go there and actually, they don't want to have to have that tag attached to them. So they'll be putting everything into the fact that they want to go there and develop a really good team. And as I said, this is a team that's been together for some time now. So by the time they get to 2022 it's almost 4 years' time, because it'll be at the end of 2022. They'll be such a match-hardened side, and they'll be so familiar with playing with each other. So, I think, by the time they get to 2022, they'll be the ripe age. They'll be 26, 27 in the prime of their career. Hopefully some of them will have been playing in Europe for a few years and they'll be ready to go for that tournament.
And Paul, does it help having the Spanish-born Felix Sanchez as the head coach? Because obviously he's had quite an extensive background in youth football and working with young players, and he even came from Barcelona's academy.
I certainly think that's probably a large part of why he was appointed in the first place, as I said, to look over to look after their youth national teams. And he's developed this team so well that when the previous coach quit, he stepped in essentially was a caretaker role. But he's done such a good job that he's gone into that that job full time. I mean, there's always talk about who Qatar's going to appoint as their coach for 2022. That the emotional talk is that they'll try and appoint a big name, Pep Guardiola or one of those types of people to try and give them some extra cachet. But when you've got Felix Sanchez doing such a really good job, I mean, you can get a big name in, but they're not guaranteed to get any better results than what Felix Sanchez is at the moment. He knows this team. He's worked with them for such a long time. Has such a good rapport with his players. I can't see why they'd want to change what is a winning formula at the moment.
And Paul, have you heard any of his post-match comments after any of the games and what he said and thought from their performances?
I haven't. No, I haven't. And I haven't had the pleasure of getting to a Qatari game as yet. As I said, I was at Oman versus Turkmenistan yesterday, so I didn't get a chance to go along to the stadium. So I haven't actually had a chance to hear what he's had to say in person and hear what he's had to say. But I imagine that they'll be very pleased with their performances, especially that one last night. You mentioned it started a politically charged environment, and I think that was such an important win. They really wanted that win, not just to get the 3 points and to top the group, but I think for the symbolic, the symbolism of it all as well, to get the win over Saudi Arabia. That you saw the players, how excited they were when they actually won the game, when they scored the goals. That was more than just 3 points in a football match for them.
And just speaking about that political atmosphere, without wanting to go into it too much, I mean, it was deathly silent in the stadium. And I believe that's because Qatari citizens are not allowed to travel to the Emirates.
Yeah, I mean, you get conflicting reports, but certainly, yeah, there's no Qatari fans here at all. I think there's only like a smattering of fans in their match against North Korea. They had a couple of fans there last night. One was Korean, one was Chinese. And then some Omani fans rocked up late after their win. They rocked up at the stadium and joined in the supporting for Qatar. But certainly there's no Qatari support around town whatsoever. So the blockade that's going on and the political scene at the moment, it's very difficult for Qataris to travel anywhere in this region. So which is a bit of a shame, because I think they would have travelled in large numbers. It's a 45-minute flight between Doha and Dubai and Abu Dhabi. So I think they would have travelled in decent numbers and provided a good atmosphere. But we hope that situation resolves itself one day and we don't have something like this repeating.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, moving our attention to the Socceroos round of 16 opponents, which was confirmed this morning, Australian time, because Uzbekistan went down 2-1 to Japan, basically a Japan reserve side, which is still good enough to beat them. But despite that, I'm a little concerned about facing this team, especially their star striker, Shomurodov.
Yeah, absolutely. They've been really impressive so far this tournament, and they took the lead last night against Japan, and here we go. This is going to be a little bit of a turn-up for the books. Shomurodov has been super impressive for them, plays in Rostov in Russia, and he's another one of us. There's been so many emerging talents come through out of this tournament, which has been one of the great features of the group stage so far, is just the young talent that's emerging through. And let's not forget, this is an Uzbekistan side that won the under-23 championships this time last year. They've got a lot of good talent coming through. Javakir Sidikov is another one, really diminutive little midfielder that's been dynamite for them so far this tournament. Shomurodov, as you said, they've got experience in Erdal Akhmadov, who's played for a number of years now in China alongside the likes of Hulk and Oscar, and he's the glue that holds that midfield together. And I was at their match against Turkmenistan, and they were super impressive. Their defence is well organised. Enver Ismailov at the back is a rock, is a mountain back there. So the Socceroos attack will find it difficult against them, and they've got some really good midfielders as well. So it's not going to be a walk in the park. I think the talk from the Uzbeks is that they're still mentally scarred from that 6-0 hammering they copped 8 years ago now. So they've got to get over that mental obstacle that they haven't been able to really do yet, and that's been the thing that's held them back for so long. They're a nation that's always there or thereabouts, that has never been really able to take that next step to join the elite of Asian football, and we probably saw that again last night when they had the chance to beat Japan and they just fell over at the final hurdle again. So this is as much mental as it is on the pitch for Uzbekistan. They've certainly got the talent. It's whether they've got the mental capability to overcome one of Asia's big teams. And if they can do that, there's no reason they can't go deep into this tournament, because they've certainly got the talent to do that.
I believe the only player from that 6-0 hammering in 2011 remaining in the Australian squad is Robbie Cruz. So, I mean, it's not terribly relevant in terms of the personnel, but as you say, if they have a bit of a mental stumbling block when it comes to these international tournaments, maybe that 6-0 will still be relevant in their minds.
Yeah, and again, a lot of this Uzbekistan side, weren't in that 2011 squad as well. I think Ignati Nesterov, the goalkeeper, is playing his fifth Asian Cup, first player to ever play at five Asian Cups. Erdal Akhmadov, just off the top of my head, are probably the two players that I can think of. Ismailov may have been. I'd have to check the squad list. But there's only two or three that would have been in that squad. So this is a very young Uzbekistan squad. So they won't carry the mental scars. I guess it's that stumbling block that you come up and it's just in your mind already when you come up against one of Asia's elite teams. You know the history. They've never been able to defeat Australia before. I think they've never scored against Australia before as well. So it's these things that they've got to overcome, but eventually they're going to do it one day. They've got an experienced international coach now, and there are some question marks over his methods and his style of play that some think are too defensive, but he's getting the results so far. So it was going to be tough either way for Australia, whether they played Japan or Uzbekistan, and I think this is going to be just as tough coming up against Uzbekistan, because they've impressed me this tournament.
I would have to agree with you there, Paul. Well, we'll leave it there, but I hope you continue to enjoy the Asian Cup and the atmosphere over there and all it has on offer. But we will look forward to chatting to you in the coming weeks.
Look forward to it. Enjoy the tournament from back home in Australia.